Well, as promised, we are going to start a course of study over the ensuing weeks in regards to a study of the 12 apostles that Jesus called. And this is a result of some books that I've read and just in the understanding of people's personalities. You know, we all sing the hymn, "I love to tell the story," or "Tell me the story of Jesus." And I hope that all of us love to hear the story of Jesus. I love to hear the testimony of people and their story of Jesus, because it's always new. It's always growing there. The thing that is so neat about this is that we're all different, aren't we? I'm not like Jack. Jack's not like me, and thank goodness.
Yeah. You're sweet.
That's right. That's right.
Of course
you're pleased. Exactly.
Two of Jack would be three too many.
Just as a side note, if you're a fan of the Twilight Zone, there's one of the segments in there, a guy who can't stand anybody else, and he thinks he's perfect. And then for 24 hours, he's in a world where everybody's just like him and looks like him. It's worth watching. But the thing is that we're all unique and individuals there. And throughout this is that Jesus called 12 disciples. And that our 12 disciples called 12 apostles. And that they were all unique in their backgrounds, in their personalities, in their desires, and so on and so forth here. And yet he chose them. It's, you know, Jesus didn't choose everybody who was, qualified. All right. Okay. You know, if we were good to go out and choose somebody, we probably would not have chosen Peter. And probably a lot of the other apostles, you know. Probably would not have chosen Matthew. Probably would not have chosen some of the others there. Of all the people that we probably would have chosen, we probably would have chosen Judas. Because Judas was educated. Judas was cultured there. Judas was a scholar, so to speak, and of a reputable family, so to speak, and so on and so forth. And so looking at on the surface and so on, so well, yeah, we want Judas with us because he's got the so-called qualifications there. And so, but Jesus chose people from a diverse background. So many of us, we get into self-depreciation. Well, I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. There's Jack. He's always preaching and so on and so forth there. And me, I'm whatever or whoever, however we may do that. And yet, as I said, was saying that Jesus, he didn't call the qualified. He qualified the willing, you know. And these were men that they were of... the idea of the Messiah was very much foremost in their minds, but they all had different ideas of what the Messiah would be and like and so on and so forth. And as we'll get into their lives, we'll find out about that. And we'll be going over into about their personalities, why Jesus called them, but also we'll deal with some of the where they ended up later, where they traveled, and also of their deaths. There, of the 12 apostles, only one died a natural death, and of course we know something as Latter-day Saints about him, that he didn't die, that he's still with us there, and that's the Apostle John. So anyhow, I think you'll find this interesting, and and all. But the thing is, I want you to be able to relate to them, okay? I want you to be able to relate to them. Years ago, there was a great individual in the church. He was an elder. His name was Montgomery Flynn, Monty, as people would call him. You probably might, yeah, but he was an irascible Irishman there, and he would tell you exactly what he thought, and he would tell you exactly what he thought of you too. And it was amazing how many people that just appreciated his ministry and such like that. But he had an experience where he was traveling, and the Lord spoke to him. And it became that he had the same character that Peter did, okay? And so, but anyhow, so this again, I hope that you can identify with them and see that they were people that were just like us, okay? As I aspired there. So anyhow, we'll go through the lesson here and today, and this is just kind of a definition defining what apostles are and who and what. But it was that Jesus chose the 12. Now, in those days, a rabbi usually had some disciples that went with him, and usually it may have been 2 or 3 or at most 6, but to have 12, that was quite a lot. And as we get into this scripture here, it wasn't just the 12. Just wasn't the 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Okay? And so, and that, you know, Jesus just didn't go eeny, meeny, miny, mo or such, but he prayed about this, who he should choose. And among those he chose was Judas. We'll get into this here later a bit, you know, but I personally do not believe that Judas was specifically born to betray Christ. Okay? He had choices. He had choices. And this is my part, my speculation, but I do think that Judas had the potential to be the greatest of the apostles. But he made choices, okay? And that he didn't see the bigger vision and such, and began to focus upon himself. But anyhow, that's aside from that. Let's go into some definitions as to what an apostle means. From Strong's Concordance, it means a delegate, a messenger, one sent forth with orders. Okay, one sent forth with orders to go. Now, this is interesting. This is from the Talmud, and that the word apostles was used among the Hebrews there, okay, is what an apostle meant. The Talmud was the Hebrew Bible, okay, there, what they had compiled together there. Okay, the apostle of anyone is even as the man himself by who he is deputed, meaning commissioned, okay? And so all the apostles were commissioned of Jesus, and they had that authority to represent him, okay? And they as they went forth into the world. Now, theirs was a special commission in that they had to, you know, they were with Jesus all the time. About 24/7 most of the times, except for times that they went out to preach. But they had that intimate. Now, who of us would not like to have that close association with the Master 24 hours, 7 days a week, okay? And just to be able to have the fellowship with him. Okay? Arthur Oakman's his endowment series, and he talks there about Albert A., and Albert A., for a time, was in the first presidency. He was a counselor to F.M. And they were cousins. They were first cousins. But they were more like brothers, okay, and very, very, how should I say, intimate one with another. And somebody asked Albert A. what F. Frederick M. would think about such a matter, you know. And he says, you know, could you ask him? He says, I don't have to ask him. I know what he thinks. Because they had that such close association, okay? one with another. And so the apostles had that same type of relationship with the master. Okay, it's one of them asking, what do you think Jesus would think about it? Well, could you ask him? Well, I don't have to ask him. I know what he would think. Okay, I know him. Okay, and it's that same type of relationship that God calls us to have with him. Okay, to have with Jesus Christ. Okay, that same type of relationship. In that that we know what he would think about something and so on and so forth. Okay. And so that these apostles had that. They were commissioned. They had that authority. And we'll get into that a little bit more. Here we see that they were commissioned by Jesus. This is John 17:18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And Strong's defines the word sent. It means person sent with commissions. Okay. And so they had the authority of Jesus Christ as they went out into the world. If we could read this, John 17:18, this way. And that as thou hast commissioned me into the world, even so have I also commissioned them into the world. And so these apostles went to, with that power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ to bear witness of him, to establish the church wherever they went, and to bring people into that fold there. Now, as is defined here in latter days, and this is, again, we have apostles in the church. We believe that. If we go to the epitome of faith, and it says, and we believe in the same organizations of the New Testament church, viz., apostles and so on and so forth there, and the spirit of prophecy and the gifts and so on and so forth. We believe in that. And so our church, we believe in apostles and that they have authority there. And but they're called, it's just not a title. The kind of getting back into this definition of it as they got into the Hebrew part of it, but there's a verb part of the apostles, meaning to go, go forth, to be sent. Okay, and so apostles, the word is a noun, but in the construct of the word apostles is a verb, meaning to go, to be sent. And apostles is just not to sit in their house and have enjoy all the accolades of, well, he's an apostle in the church. But they're to be active in working and going forth and spreading forth the gospel in this kingdom of God upon the earth. And so it's just not, again, a title to hold. Okay? So, here from section 104 of the Doctrine and Covenants, this gives more about construct of the apostles and the 70, but it gives also particularly what is their purpose here. And the 12 traveling counselors are to be called the 12 apostles or special witnesses of the name of Christ in all the world, thus differing from other offices in the church in the duties of their calling, and they have formed a quorum equal in authority and power to the three presidents previously mentioned. The 70 are also called to preach the gospel and to be especial witnesses unto the Gentiles in all the world, thus differing from the other offices of the church in their duties or calling. And they form a quorum equal in authority to that of the 12 especial witnesses or apostles just named. Okay? Especial witnesses is what they're called to be. Now, and that here just to give a meaning of that, means that they are principal witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. And, Jack? Yeah.
I don't know how many of you knew many apostles or not, but I knew quite a few of them, and it was very interesting. When you talk about special witnesses, most of them that bore testimony to me that they had actually seen Jesus and conversed with Jesus. It was a special witness.
Yeah, yeah. So, and that was one of their callings there. You know, as the Apostle Peter said about, he says, we were eyewitnesses. We heard him. We handled him. Okay? They were in close association with the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And so these apostles are called to be principal witnesses of the Lord Jesus. Okay? Nothing else. Hear this from 1 Corinthians about many members in the church. And let's look at our body of the body. And let's just read this here. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Starting in verse 8. And you can read this whole chapter. It's all about the diversity of the body there and about the many members there. But here, we'll just read this. For one is given by the Spirit of the Word, by the Spirit, the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit. To another, faith, by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing, by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh at one and selfsame Spirit, dividing every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body also in Christ. Right. And so we looking at the diversity of the apostles, and just kind of quickly here looking, in that, in regards to their temperament, Peter, he's a man of action. He was bold, impulsive, eager in spirit, had an eager spirit. Okay, he was always, wanted to be in the thick of it. Okay, there's some times, as we read in the Gospels, boy, he was just so rash. We have the point in Matthew, the 16th chapter, where Jesus has asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And Peter's the first one. He's right there. And he says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." I think Jesus smiled at that moment, because none of the others had come forth at that point yet. And Jesus smiled and says, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven." And that revelation that needs to come to each and every one of us, that Jesus is the Christ. In contrast to John, John the Beloved, John was a man of prayer. He was quiet, contemplative, loving heart. And so you have these contrasts between these two there. In regards to spiritual gifts, he had Bartholomew or Nathaniel. He was a believing soul and never ready to confess. And here you have Thomas, who was a skeptical spirit and slow to accept the witness of others. Okay. And then we go on to, in regards to political opinion. Oh boy, can we relate to that today, huh? Okay. People are unfriending people on Facebook and so on and so forth. I just don't bother with politics on Facebook. I just try to keep mine apolitical. But anyhow, you had Matthew, who was a publican or a tax gatherer, as they would call. He was a stooge of Rome. Okay, they didn't like the Romans, but they liked the publicans even less. He was a servant of the Roman governor and wore the livery of Rome. Okay, the costume or whatever it was. Okay. And these were just really looked down. But in contrast, you have Simon, who was a zealot, who wanted to cast off the yoke of Rome, okay? Just nothing to do with them, okay? Judah for Jews, okay? That was probably Judea or Galilee or whatever it was, okay? And nobody else. And he was a rebel, his sword was drawn against it, and he hated his taxes and so on and so forth. And yet Jesus drew all these people, diversities, unto him to be his disciples, to bear witness. Okay. And as he mentioned that he commissioned them, where did he send them? Well, you just go into Judea, you just find those areas that are comfortable for you. Okay. But no, He sent them into all the world. The world in that day did not have safe spaces. And they were quite heavily influenced throughout the Roman Empire by Eastern cults and religions. Okay? And in addition to their own pagan systems, and but the you know, among the Romans, euthanasia was quite common. Okay, if you felt like you had spent your days, you were old, you're no worth, or so on and so forth, you could have yourself killed or kill yourself. Okay, child you know, killing was quite common throughout the empire, particularly in the city of Ephesus, which was a Roman city, in that if a baby was born, was imperfect, something was wrong, it had one arm shorter than the other, or a birthmark splotch, you know, or something like that, that was not right. If it was of the wrong sex, they would take that baby out to the city, out to the outside the city gates, out into the wilderness, and leave it for the wild animals to devour and such. Now, the thing that set the Church of Ephesus apart is that the Christians would go out and collect those babies and raise them as their own. Okay? Now, there's the testimony of Jesus there. But that's the world to where Jesus sent his apostles into all the world. Okay. And as we'll find out, that we'll talk about their the martyrdom that happened of many of the apostles, and that where they went, and they traveled quite a bit. Just real quickly, you know, in that Thomas traveled to India, and that's where he was martyred there. But when the Portuguese arrived in India in the 16th century, you know, their spice developed, their spice trade and such. But they found among the, there was a certain area of Christians. Okay? And they had a copy of the Gospel of Matthew in Hebrew. And also they did not worship, how should I say, icons, the images of saints and so on and so forth. They asked them why they didn't do that, and they said because Thomas told us not to there. And so kind of interesting, some of the bits of history of that have happened there. And I titled this The Apostolic Witness of All Members. Now, if you've listened to Arthur Oakman's sermon, The Meaning of the Crucifixion, and this was given back in 1954, and he made this statement. He says, God help this church if all we have are 12 apostles. Okay. 12 apostles. And what he was referring to was the apostolic witness of being his special witnesses, of witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. And too often, sometimes in the church, we get into, well, that's a priesthood function. The priesthood are responsible for spreading the gospel. The priesthood are responsible for doing that. That's the apostles' job, and so on and so forth. Yeah, as we've mentioned, they are the principal witnesses. Okay? But that doesn't keep us from having that apostolic witness of the Lord Jesus, that special witness also. And as we, you know, as we developed Living Hope, and we made our mission statement, that we believe that we are called to be special witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. Back in the early days, as we were talking about the branch here, you know, I says one thing that I would sure hope that Living Hope gets accused of is that somebody comes and visits us, and they go back and says, man, all they talk about is Jesus Christ there at Living Hope. Okay, isn't that terrible? Yeah, I hope so. I hope so, you know. And that and here in the other scriptures here, as I shared here, if you have desires to serve God, you're called to the work, for behold, the field is white, ready to harvest. and are ready to bear witness there. My grandmother, you know, she never graduated high school, but she took it upon herself to be a witness and shared with the people where she worked. And she had a class on Wednesday nights of 30 co-workers. And then later they would go to prayer service there. Okay. And there's many, many, many others who have borne that witness of the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives and about his gospel. Okay. This in section 119, all are called according to the gifts of God unto them to the intent that they may labor together. Okay. As the apostles went out into the world, and as I said, it was a very inhospitable culture that they went into. But they began to lay the foundation for the, turning the world upside down. Turning the world upside down. And people coming to the Lord Jesus there. It changed history. It changed our culture. Okay? We are a result of their efforts as they went forth into the world. It was the beginning of, the foundation of Western civilization that we have today. Anyhow, any questions, any comments on about, yeah, Jack?
You know, why do we have just 12 apostles?
I think it's because of the 12 tribes of Israel.
Because of the 12 tribes of Israel, right?
Right, right.
It's interesting that the Catholic Church, the Cardinals, it's the same name that they use for apostle. They have 96.
Oh.
I thought it was interesting, but how we've lost that.
Yeah.
The 12 tribes and 12 apostles.
Right.
Of...
Yeah. And this is something that's kind of interesting, and something that's not too... brought out, but that there were other apostles later. Okay, there was Matthias, who was chosen to replace Judas. Okay? And you read about that in the book of Acts. Okay? And then also then later the apostle Paul, who became an apostle and was approved later by the church council, you know, to be an apostle. And there were others there that I have mentioned either in the early writings of the church fathers I can't think of his name now. Polycrap there. Jan?
I was trying to find the scripture because I don't know exactly where it is, but it mentions that the 12 apostles will actually judge the 12 tribes of Israel.
Right, right. Right, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, when Jesus was here in America, he chose 12, but they don't call them apostles. They called them disciples. And you know, there might have been 70 there, held the office of 70 or something like that. We don't know. But anyhow, they were called and did their work also. So something for you to think about what is your apostolic witness, because you are called to have that witness of the Lord Jesus and his testimony there. As we mentioned earlier there about the hymns, that I love to tell the story or tell me the story. And I hope that we all are interested. I love books of testimonies there. I love books that where people's lives have been changed and what they have done with their lives as they have followed Jesus Christ. And brought forth preached his gospel and taught it there. Okay, I think we're done a little early here, so.